And good afternoon. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with Lori Houston. And today's show is Uncovering the Divine Within with Carrie Cannon. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you, Lori.
So this is exciting. Today we're going to start talking about EFT. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, I know we've talked about it several times, but today we're going to delve right in and really explore it to its depth. So why don't you tell us about that?
I really love EFT because it seems like such an amazing, powerful tool for anybody to have in their toolbox. And I'm getting into it more and more and more. And the more I get into it, the more exciting it seems to be. First of all, EFT is a combination of acupressure and neuro-linguistic programming. And basically what the process is, and most people who listening probably already know about this, but there are probably quite a few who also don't. So what it is you tap on different energy meridians, and as you tap about 5 to 7 times on each meridian, you state a positive affirmation or you state a statement. And oftentimes they start with, even though I have this, whatever it is, I deeply and completely accept myself. And as you get into more advanced EFT, you can sort of change your statements around. And I've found with my work that it really is just transformational and amazing. And I want to start off with a little story. Yesterday I had a group, and before my group, I had somebody was dealing with issues from 12 years ago, who lost a child. And as with all parents who lose children, you know, he blamed himself. And he told me the story of what happened, and you know, listening to the story, it sounded like here he was just a new parent, and he was doing the best he could. What happened was the baby woke up in the middle of the night after 6 weeks of, you know, them not sleeping, and she was crying, and the routine was he would go change her and, you know, set her, kind of change her so that she was all dry and comfortable so that the mom could then feed her, and the mom would feed her in this big kind of cushy chair. So he put her, you know, he got her all ready, and then he put her down, and he went to go wake up his wife. Now, either in that scenario, she didn't hear him, or he didn't tell her, or whatever, and the baby ended up turning over and suffocated, you know, after, because she was hungry, and she was upset, and she turned over, and she ended up suffocating. And so, of course, this person is just blaming himself, you know, for these past 12 years that it's all his fault, that, you know, he, for whatever reason, he didn't, you know, wasn't insistent that his wife get out of bed or whatever it was. And he's been carrying this around for a really long time. And I mean, anybody can see how traumatic that would be. So what we did was we started tapping about a half an hour before our session was supposed to start with the group. And, you know, what I did was I helped him to, first of all, really get into the pain of what it felt like. And then from that place, he was on a scale of 1 to 10, he was at a 10 as far as intensity of feeling what it was. And after a few rounds and helping him to see, you know, you were six weeks with no sleep, and, you know, you fell asleep, and it's nobody's to blame, you know, that the baby slipped over and, you know, that she turned herself over. Nobody would know. And, you know, and I helped him to kind of see it differently, that, you know, he's human and that, you know, unfortunately things like this do happen. And it was really amazing because by the time a half hour was over, you know, it's not that he doesn't love, you know, he doesn't feel love for this child that he lost. And it's not that he doesn't recognize what happened. And it's not that he's happy about what happened, obviously. But the emotional trauma that was associated with this event seemed to have lifted. And his spirits were really high. It seemed as if this burden was lifted from his soul that he had been carrying around and had been really disabling him from being an effective parent with his other kids, because he had lost, you know, his ability to trust himself when it comes to his kids and things like that. And it was just a really, for me, it was one of those miraculous moments that says, wow, what I'm doing is so important. And I was really, really grateful for being able to, you know, take part in that experience. So that's why I decided that this show I would really like to dedicate to sharing what I've learned through teaching EFT. And a lot of the things that I'm going to go into later on are a little more advanced than the free stuff that you get on the internet. But I'm going to share something with people that they can probably work with. And if they have, you know, questions about the transcription, they can just email me or go to my website and, you know, fill out the contact form and get in touch with me, and I can send a PDF. I just bought a couple of website domains this morning because after yesterday's experience, I was just like, wow, I really need to get more into this. And I'll be sharing those in my newsletters and things too. So if you're interested in that, you could certainly, you know, sign up for that. But so that's my opening of why I wanted to have this show today, because it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
What does EFT stand for?
It stands for Emotional Freedom Technique, and it was founded by Gary Craig. And his website, where you can actually get tapping points and things like that for now, he uses tapping points that include fingers and things, and it's a really good starter, a really good way to start getting into it. There are also other sort of, he's found that there are other tapping points that can be used instead, and all of the tapping points in his free download are not necessarily necessary, but it's still just as effective. So if people want to know what the tapping points are, they can go to emofree.com and download his free, instructional manual on how to use basic EFT, and you can find out the tapping points from there. But I will, once I get this website up, which shouldn't take me long because I'm really excited about it, I'll have some illustrations on there about the different points that I use and that people can use along with what I'm going to be sharing.
Cool. And so, well, that obviously is one thing. What other things are EFT useful for?
EFT is what?
What are the things that EFT is useful for?
I've found that it's useful for so many different things. I found that with physical pain, that people have had chronic pain for a long time, that just tapping a little bit, you know, for example, and I might have shared this story before, I'm not sure, I'm blonde, so everything kind of goes in and out, and I just have no idea what I've talked about. But my mother, when I first started doing this, I asked her if she would be my guinea pig, and she had had chronic shoulder pain for about 5 years. And she had been to physical therapy, and she had, you know, tried to work on this arm thing that she had going on. And, you know, it would go away, and then it would come back or whatever. When she got stressed out, it would start coming back. And my mom works in a hospital, and she was in charge of linen, and actually mail and linen for a while. And in the hospital, to be in charge of the linen, it's a big job. There's a lot to be responsible for, and the hospital is a state hospital, so people don't necessarily have the highest degree of integrity when working in certain different departments. They don't show, they, you know, do whatever they want, they decide to skip shifts and things like that. So it was a pretty stressful job. But I asked her, you know, if she would allow me to be a guinea pig, she would be my guinea pig. And she was like, Carrie, you know, everything that you talk about is like way over my head. I don't understand anything about it, but sure, you know, sure, let's just go for it. So I just said, okay, I know that, you know, it seems out there to you, but just bear with me. And so I instructed her on what to do and where to tap and all of these other things. And we just worked on the shoulder, even though I have this achy shoulder, even though my shoulder hurts, I deeply and completely accept myself, and that's basic EFT. And within 5 minutes, her shoulder, she went from not having barely any range of motion in her shoulder to having full range of motion. And that was really, really encouraging to me. And about a month after that, I saw her at my sister's house, and I asked her how she was doing with that. And she said that it was you know, it seemed really good, except that day it seemed to be bothering her a little bit. And we were helping my sister out with things that needed to be done with her house. So we were doing some physical things over there. And so I sat down with my mom for about 20 minutes and I said, okay, forget about the shoulder pain. Make a list of other things in your life that are bothering you. And, you know, she's been single for quite a while. And, she was talking about how she would like a companion, and she was talking about some childhood stuff that I never knew about, where she always kind of felt that she was ugly and other things like that. And it seemed that, I said, okay, what is the most intense feeling from all of these? Like, she had to get her roof fixed and she was worried about, you know, the financial burden of that and all those other things. And I asked her, she had a list of about eight or 10 things. And I said, what's the most intense thing? And she said, the ugly, that I feel ugly. And I said, okay, Mom, we're going to forget about all that other stuff for right now. And we're just going to tap on ugly. You know, even though I feel ugly, I deeply and completely accept myself. Now, my mom is an attractive woman. And it's just kind of funny to me that my mom would even think that she's ugly. But, you know, she was never instilled with positive messages that told her that she was attractive as a kid. So we tapped on that. That lasted about 20 minutes. And after the 20 minutes, she didn't feel ugly anymore. She just, you know, felt just like normal. You know, all the charge from that was gone. And her shoulder pain disappeared again. Mm-hmm. So it was almost as if metaphorically she had the weight of the world on her shoulders. And, you know, every time something came up, it would show up for her. And this was about a year ago, actually, I think. And she hasn't had any complaints about her shoulder pain ever since. And she had been in physical therapy for 5 years before that. Yeah. So it's really encouraging to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
is she aware of the fact of how powerful that is? Like that
is she aware?
Yeah.
Or am I aware?
No, she. Your mother.
I think she was just, you know, I'm not sure. I don't really think so, because I think it's kind of one of those things that now it's funny when people use EFT, they'll enter it as a last resort. And then when it works, it's like they totally forget that they were having this issue for so long. I was working with a woman who was having intense anxiety around in parties at parties. And she was, and I'm pretty sure I shared this story before, but she was really going through an anxiety attack or a panic attack. And I asked her if I could help her out with it. And I didn't use traditional EFT methods. What I did was I just asked her if I could sit with her and if she would just mind telling me her story. And as she was telling me her story, I asked her if I could tap on her different energy meridians, which most of them are on the face and the upper, you know, the upper portion of your body. There's one that's sort of under your armpit. And that's, you know, but anyway, I asked her if I could tap on her. We found a secluded place. And I asked her to tell me the story, you know, as if she were just sort of telling a story. And as she was telling the story, I started tapping on her. And she was at the point in the day, she had been taking anxiety medication, and she was at the point in the day where her anxiety medication was wearing off, and she would have to be, you know, take it again in a few hours because it was a 24-hour medication. And I think she would usually take it probably around 8 or 9, and this was around 5 or 6 in the afternoon. And as, you know, as we tapped, she felt more and more comfortable and more relaxed. And she said that all of the tension around all of these childhood, what happened was I asked her if there were underlying issues that caused her to feel this anxiety. And she was like, oh yeah. And it was childhood sexual abuse issues that actually went through a couple different generations. And she was having some real issues because the person who had violated her as a young girl, who was a member of her family, also violated 4 of her 5 daughters.
Ugh.
So this was really, it was in addition to her own sexual abuse issues, she was having that mommy guilt you know, for allowing this person to even be in the lives of her children. And of course, this is a person who she loves, and it's all that confusion around sexual abuse, you know, when it comes to there's somebody that you love, but they can't be trusted, you know. Mm-hmm. So there was all of that. And we tapped on it for a few minutes, probably about a half an hour, actually, because we kept going through different aspects. And within, and again, probably a half an hour, she felt relieved. And she was at the point in her life where she couldn't really hold down a job because she couldn't be around people. She was really nervous around people. And then the next thing I hear, she was holding down a job and she was doing really, really well. I think she was she got a job as like an assistant chef in, you know, some place. So here she went from having all of these people anxieties to actually, you know, being able to function in a crowd, maintain her balance and not go into this anxiety space.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah, very. This is why I talk about it all the time. I'm like, wow, this is just amazing. So, but it's not only that. I've been holding a group at my house on Tuesdays, which was yesterday when I had that, you know, the traumatic thing with the losing the child. And it's a group of people, and we've chosen a theme because so many people are working on financial stuff. And it's really interesting because this week, one of the people in the group got a job. One of the people in the group decided that she just really needed to hunker down and work some more. One of the people in the group said that she felt, you know, much more relieved. And I, who I'm leading the group, I've decided to, you know, approach corporations about EFT itself. And that's not something that I probably would have the nerve to do because I'm, you know, Miss, you know, personal development, spirituality. And I've not really had much experience in corporate America. And that kind of has intimidated me. But, you know, I just last Thursday or something, I called one of the largest corporations in my area and asked them if I can give a demonstration. So it's, you know, with this financial, it seems to be able to release blocks in all areas where we feel resistance. And I have not yet found something that has come up that it has not been able to be successful on. I'm about halfway through. There are EFT training courses, and there are three aspects of it. One is beginning, basic EFT. One is intermediate EFT, being able to use different forms of training. And the last one, which I have not gotten into yet, deals with disease and so forth. Now, I haven't dealt with disease, and I haven't watched the training videos, but since the training videos are there, I do perceive that it could be a useful tool to accompany, you know, a traditional medicine. You know, for example, if somebody is going through treatment of some kind, you know, perhaps EFT would help facilitate that process. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm very, very, very excited. And the more I learn about it, the more I'm just blown away and I'm amazed. And I just feel so grateful every day that I have this tool and I can help people with it. And it helps me as it helps everybody else. It helps me. So it's really amazing. And I wanted to be able to share some of it with the listeners today.
Great.
Okay. So did I have anything else on there that I...
Sure. Did you, do you want to talk about who can use it?
Yes. Anybody can use it. Basically, all you need to do is you need to know what to do. And, I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to talk about the different energy points, but I would really suggest or advise anybody to go online and find it right now, or you can go to my website, divinewithin.com, and I can send you a little PDF with, an example on how to do that. And probably by the time most people listen to this, I'll have a website up. And I just purchased the domain tappingsolution.org, and that's not up yet because I just bought it this morning. But it shouldn't take me long, and then you'll be able to go there and find out what the tapping points are too. But for now, either I would suggest going to Gary Craig's website, which is emofree.com, and download his book, or go to my website and I'll send you just, you know, a little PDF with an image of where these tapping points are.
Right.
But anybody can do it. If you have fingers, you can do it. And you know, I guess even if you don't, somebody else can tap on your energy meridians for you. You know, so, as long as you've got a partner.
Know someone, your cat, you know.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, you know what, Lori? I have done it. This is an advanced method, too, that I learned about in one of my things. My daughter had a migraine headache one day, and she's 10, so her body is changing and, you know, all that stuff that comes along with our bodies changing. And she was in school, and the nurse called and said, you know, she really had a headache for a few hours. Do you want to just pick her up and bring her home? I was like, yeah, sure. So I got there, and as I arrived at the nurse's office, the school is like, you know, 3 minutes from my house. As I arrived there, I asked her how intense her headache was, and she said it was on a scale of 1 to 10. It was a 10, and I asked her if she would mind if I did EFT. She said, Mom, I don't want you to touch me. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do anything. You know, I was like, okay. So what I did was I placed myself in a situation where, and I know I've talked about this before too, I placed myself in the awareness that I was her. And from that awareness, in my mind, I didn't even use my fingers. In my mind, with, you know, stating the affirmations and imagining that I was tapping on these different energy meridians of my body, which at that point was my daughter's body, which I imagine that, and this might sound far out, the school is only like 3 minutes from my house. So we walk to the car and I'm kind of, you know, holding her hand and I'm imagining that I'm tapping, you know, as we're getting into the car. And then she gets in the car and, you know, we get home. And as we pull into the garage, I asked her how was her, you know, level. And she said it was more like a 6. So I said, okay, well, I've been doing this, you know, remotely and I've been imagining that I'm you and I'm tapping on you. Would you like to do this for a few more minutes? And she said, yeah. So we came inside and she sat on the couch and I just, you know, sat next to her and I was just imagining, I didn't touch her, that I was doing this, that I was tapping on her different energy meridians and stating the affirmation, even though I have this migraine headache and it really, really hurts, I deeply and completely accept myself. And within 5 minutes of getting home, so from the time I picked her up at school to the time that I got home, consider that we had to actually walk to the car, so that may have taken 3 minutes. It's about 15 minutes. And by the time we got home and I sat with her for a few more minutes, she said, okay, Mom, can I go play on my computer now? Hmm. So in that 15-minute time, this migraine headache that she had just went away, and I didn't even touch her. So even if you don't have fingers, you can do it as long as you have a good imagination.
There you go. you talk about how EFT taps out the negative, but when you dwell on the negative emotion, doesn't that create more of it?
Actually, it doesn't. What I find is that, and the same with my work, when I first was, I don't know if you would call it, downloaded my work or whatever, when I first discovered my own Uncovering the Divine Within process or my workbook, what I needed to do was acknowledge the negative thoughts that I was holding on to and let those go. So actually what it does is, it gets you, through acknowledging the negativity, it brings you to a place of neutrality. And tapping on those thoughts just actually releases them. It's kind of like you can't clean out your closet if you're unwilling to open it and see what's there. So it's kind of the same principle. You acknowledge these negative thoughts that are going on, and then by acknowledging them, they can just disappear. It's kind of like being afraid to look at your bills. Oh, I have all these bills. And then, you know, you look at them and then you can deal with them. So, no, it actually helps to neutralize.
Cool. And you say you want to take it to corporations, but how will EFT benefit corporations?
Well, from my research and from my experience, I'm finding that it's such a powerful tool, and everybody has issues. Everybody's got something going on in their life. And really what it is it's a stress reliever. And stress can appear in the form of, anything from like a mild anxiety to disease. Mm-hmm. And depending upon, you know, how stuck you are in that energy that just you can't release from your body, that will determine how strongly your body ends up fighting against your well-being. So what I perceive, and unfortunately there are no concrete studies out there yet, so I'm trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to do this? Should I apply for a grant, which I don't really perceive that that's something I necessarily want to do. You know, should I just take it to these corporations and let them see how it affects their bottom line? But what it does, in my experience of working with people, for example, in the instance of my mom, who had this chronic shoulder thing, she was going to physical therapy. So that, you know, then comes out of insurance premiums because, you know, her employer would pay for her physical therapy. For people who have anxiety issues and nervous breakdowns and things like that, you know, they have to go to therapy of some kind. And if there's a tool that can help people release whatever these stuck energies are in their body, the thoughts that bind us from being able to experience happiness and freedom and, you know, peace, if there were a tool that could help us release that and it were something that everybody could use, then, wow, what an amazing opportunity for corporate whoever to incorporate that into their wellness program, because it would decrease absenteeism, it would decrease insurance premiums, it would make for a happier, healthier environment. So the overall feeling or the corporate, social structure identity would then sort of branch out to their customers. And it just seems like all around, you know, and just, you know, less people quitting and so forth. It just seems like a holistic approach to allowing corporations to really thrive and for their employees to really grow. And it also would bring out greater creativity because people would feel free. I mean, so many people, especially right now, feel kind of bound to their job, don't necessarily feel like that's what they want to be doing, but there's all this fear out there that if they, you know, move on to something else, there won't be something else there to move on to. So, you know, creating a happier environment within the environment that you're in could be highly beneficial to any corporation, because these people took these jobs for a reason. You know, people don't end up in certain jobs because out of, you know, a random draw from the hat. You know, there are certain qualifications. People felt good about the company when they started or whatever. But if everything isn't running smoothly, then there's some sort of stress issue going on within the corporation. It could be mild. It could be strong. It could be just too much overwhelming work to do or whatever that is. But if there was something in place that could help corporations deal with, you know, employee stress issues, which would cover everything from, you know, perhaps, and I don't know because I haven't gotten into health aspects of it, perhaps, you know, physical health issues to just being completely stressed out, that would really help corporations to maintain a better bottom line, a increased bottom line or whatever you want to call it. So that's why I'm excited about that. And since EFT is sort of this, sort of energy therapy or whatever you want to call it, and it's kind of out there, spiritual, people don't know about it. It's just uncharted territory that people have really not been exposed to. It's kind of funny because people hear, oh yeah, EFT, I've heard about that in spiritual circles, but they don't really use it because I don't think they understand exactly how powerful it is. And what I would like to do is to bring this into the mainstream so that people can say, wow, you know, I feel so awesome. I love my job. I love my life. I love my, you know, everything that's going on, and have everything be smooth, because that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants peace of mind, security, and, you know, the freedom to live their lives in the best way that they can. Mm-hmm. And I perceive that it's an amazing tool to help people do that.
Right. And you're doing group work now. Do you actually do EFT with a group? Is that how does that work, and is that beneficial?
Yeah, well, what we do is generally I'll ask people in the group, okay, what's going on this week? And the group that I've been conducting every week has been based on financial things. But along with that are all the little attachments that we have to how that might show up. For example, yesterday we had a woman who was like, you know, I want to get this job, but I just hate having to please people. Or I feel like I need to be a people pleaser, and I want people to like me and all of that. And that's, you know, that's, there's an attachment there to, you know, if I am not myself, people are not going to like me. So that was one aspect. We had another aspect of a woman who is afraid that if she doesn't get a job, she'll be homeless and all of that stuff. So, you know, we were tapping on that. So what I do is I have my little whiteboard, and I write all of people's concerns on the whiteboard. And then I will figure out a way to phrase them to, and I'm pretty good at linking them all together. And I wish I had my whiteboard from yesterday, but I erased it. For example, if somebody's got, you know, is afraid that they feel unfocused and unbalanced, because that can impede somebody's ability to progress forward because they don't know which direction they're going. And, you know, they're afraid of, because of that, you know, I'll be homeless and I don't want to be in a job that I don't like, and, you know, all these things. So what we'll do is we'll take everybody's stuff and we'll have the entire group tap on the entire list or the entire set of concerns at the same time. Because oftentimes, you know, one person might be concerned about their focus, another people might be concerned about being a people pleaser, but both of those people may have some aspect of, oh yeah, I do have, you know, I do have a bit of a people pleaser in me too. So by the whole group tapping together and working on it together, it's kind of like the energy of the group intensifies the progress that's made. So what I find is, you know, I just kind of read through the list and I show people what to do. What I'll do is I tap along with everybody and show them, you know, the points to be on. And we'll just go down the list, and then I'll ask people, okay, where are you? Are you on a scale of 1 to 10? How much are you feeling like, you know, you're unfocused? Or on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to, you know, do you feel like you have to be a people pleaser to have what you want? Or whatever the issues are. Those were just a couple of the many, many issues that we worked on yesterday. And then they'll tell me, you know, and the whole group will kind of give me an idea of where they stand energetically with, you know, whether they feel light, or whether they're feeling, oh yeah, I still feel a little bit of that, you know, there's a little stickiness in there. And the whole group works together, and it seems really, really positive. From the group yesterday, we had, you know, a lot of people are shifting their financial situation. We've been doing it in a group situation for about, I think, a little bit more than a month. So, you know, it was really good. So in the group, we take all those things. And what I like to do is I like to tap up too, which is not taught in the, at least the basic EFT. Once we get everybody to a place of neutrality, then we figure out, okay, now what is it? Now that you're neutral on that, what do you want? You know, so people will say, you know, I want to feel balanced. I want to feel safe. I want to feel secure. I want to be happy. I want to be in a relationship that I, you know, that brings me fulfillment, or I want to be in a job that brings me fulfillment, or whatever those things are. And I'll rephrase them and say, you know, even though I haven't had this before, now I choose to have that. Or now I'm worthy of having, you know, a job that I love. Or now I know that I am lovable, and obviously the love of my life is just going to pop in, or whatever it is. And you, what happens is the people that are participating in the group, they really get a boost, a real boost after it. And it's funny because the guy that I worked with yesterday on his childhood issues, his child, you know, losing his child, he was also feeling a little bit like he couldn't trust himself in business ventures too. And so it's funny because I got an email from him today, and he's just really going to town on his website and, you know, working on his business stuff. And it's all a matter of trust. You know, being able to trust or not trust himself, which I thought was the core of basically what was going on there. And he's just been on fire, you know, ever since. So it, in the group work, it really works, you know, to to help everybody just kind of see different aspects. And I find that with the group work, it seems to progress a lot faster, too. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just the collective energy of the group or whatever, but it really seems to, we seem to get a heck of a lot done in 1 hour of group work, even more so than with the individual. And it's funny because I spoke to him individually yesterday, the guy that with the child thing, and he said that he really felt that the group thing was really dynamic. But he's a guy, and most of the people in my group are women. And he said women love to work in groups anyway, but it was a really there was a lot more power in the group than it seemed like there was in the little individual consultation. But, you know, for privacy reasons, I didn't want to, you know, have him have to do that in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really good.
Cool. So you wanted to give us some examples, and you wanted to show us, you know.
Yes, I did. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to address some of the issues that revolve around debt and wealth. And they may not be appropriate for everyone, but I'm just going to touch on some of the issues that people have had around money. I'm specifically going to deal with debt because when we have debt, it means we have more going out than we have coming in. And it creates a real feeling of hopelessness. So, and hopelessness is just, it can be so debilitating. But first, and, you know, if people are listening to this as a download instead of the live interview, you might want to go find some tapping, either go to my website, divinewithin.com, and I'll hopefully by the time you listen to this, I'll have it just where you can just download it quickly. Or you can go to emofree.com and download that book. But I'm hoping to have that on my website within 15 minutes of ending this call. But basically, I'm going to go over the tapping points orally, too, so that people can, you know, just not have to go download something and stop this. So the first point that I like to use is what's called the eyebrow point. And to describe that, what you do is you place two fingers, and for most of these points, it's two fingers. You place two fingers on the beginning of the eyebrow next to your nose, where one finger is touching the hair on your eyebrow, and the other finger is just sort of right there in that corner there. And they're together. Your fingers are together for all of them.
So it's in the corner of your eye?
Sort of in the corner on the eyebrow, but on the nose, sort of on that bone portion.
Okay.
Okay. And so that would be the first tapping point, where you can feel the hair on your eyebrow there. And then the next tapping point is on the corner of your eye on the outside, not where the nose is, on the outside of your eye, where your eye socket is, there's a bone there that is kind of the corner. And that's your second tapping point, is the corner, that corner bone on your eye. The third one is directly underneath your eye on that eye socket bone again, kind of where the soft tissue then turns into muscle right there and right on that bone. The next one is underneath the nose in that little bridge portion, like right where your nose connects to your lip. And then the next one is called the chin point, which is actually right underneath your lip. It's not really your chin. It's above your chin in that little crease between your lip and your chin. So that's the next point. The next point is a little bit harder to find. And I'm going to do my best to describe this point. You have the hollow of your neck, which is right in the center of, you know, where your collarbones meet. To either the right or the left, and it doesn't matter which side you're tapping on. It's you can do, you know, both sides, opposite sides, whatever. At the tip of your collarbone, first find the hole in your neck, you know, the hole where your collarbones meet. And then on one collarbone, if you have your fingers towards the edge, closest to that hole, where they're flat on the collarbone, but slightly down, like on the collarbone, but slightly down on that bone, it feels like there's a depression. And the tapping point is right at the beginning of that collarbone in that depression, which is slightly, it's not on the top, it's slightly down, on the collarbone. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you'll have to get a download and I'll try and have that loaded. But it's right at the beginning of the collarbone and there's a slight impression right below it. The next one is underneath the armpit. And for guys, it's parallel with the nipple. And for women, it's about where your bra line is, and it'll hurt probably when you tap on it. And you can either, you know, go use your arm and go across your body to tap it, or you can just, you know, kind of do it like a monkey, but tap it underneath where your bra line is, or underneath the armpit, whatever you want to call that. And you just feel for it. You kind of tap there, and you'll feel that it seems a little bit sore. There's one more that I use when there's just women because of, you know, privacy issues or whatever, which is right beneath on the third rib. It's right beneath the breast. And it's sort of towards the side. It's not towards the middle of your body. It's sort of towards the side, just down a little bit, sort of an L shape from where the underneath the arm one is, the underarm one is. And if you tap on to the side of your body, but underneath the breast, it feels a little bit sore, and that's your tapping point. And then the last one is the top of the head, and that's just if you take your hands from your ears and take them so that you try and make your fingers reach the top of your head, right in the middle there is where it is. And you can use the flat of your hand to do that if you're not exactly sure where it is. So anyway. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lead people through the tapping points. I'm going to say the point first, and then I'm going to state either the entire affirmation or part of it, because some of them are a little bit long, and have people do that. But first, before I do that, I want to first talk about the anchor points. And there's an anchor point called the karate chop point, which is on the side of the hand, as if you were to take your hand and, you know, karate chop something. It's that point right there, right on the side of your hand, below your pinky finger, where I generally take four fingers and just tap that point. And that's an anchor point. We always use the anchor points first to just kind of anchor the thought in our mind that this is what we're changing. You know, this is what we're trying to change. And then there's another one, which is, and you'll probably have to get the download for this, but on your chest, sort of on your breastbone, above one of your, you know, either side of your breast, there's a point sort of right on your chest where if you rub it, it feels sore. Like if somebody were to poke you there, you'd be like, ow. That is that's another anchor point. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to state this affirmation three times, and I'm going to rub my sore spot. That's what the one on the breastbone is called. If that's too painful or whatever, you can do the karate chop point, but this is the anchoring. And so I'm going to start, and I would like people to repeat after me if you're listening. Even though I have this debt.
Even though I have this debt.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I can't pay off my bills.
Even though I can't pay off my bills.
I accept myself anyway.
I accept myself anyway.
Okay, now I'm going to say that two more times. Even though I have this debt.
Even though I have this debt.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I can't pay off my bills.
Even though I can't pay off my bills.
I accept myself anyway.
I accept myself anyway.
And one more time, and hopefully everybody's either rubbing the sore spot or tapping on your karate chop. Even though I have this debt.
Even though I have this debt.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I can't pay off my bills.
Even though I can't pay off my bills.
I accept myself anyway.
I accept myself anyway.
Okay. So now I'm going to tap on the eyebrow portion. I have this debt.
I have this debt.
I can't pay off my bills, and that's on the side of the eye.
I can't pay off my bills.
Okay, I'm going to go underneath the eye. I intend to pay my bills. I just don't have enough right now.
I intend to pay my bills. I just don't have enough right now.
Under the nose. I'm not alone. Many people have debt in these tough financial times.
I'm not alone. Many people have debt in these tough financial times.
Okay, the chin point. Even though I just don't have enough, I accept myself exactly as I am.
Even though I just don't have enough, I accept myself exactly as I am.
Collarbone. Maybe my debt represents feelings that I am not enough.
Maybe my debt represents feelings that I am not enough.
Tapping underneath the arm. Maybe my debt is a manifestation of my feelings that I'm just not enough.
Maybe my debt is a manifestation of the feelings that I'm just not enough.
On the top of the head. Even though I believe that if I have more than I need, someone else will not have enough. I am willing to consider the possibility that there is always enough to go around. Okay, on the eyebrow again. If I feel unworthy and like I don't have enough. On the outside of the eye. Does that mean I'm contributing to the problem and not the solution? Underneath the eye. Maybe my debt is a manifestation of my own poverty consciousness. Mm-hmm. Underneath the nose. Maybe the world is experiencing poverty consciousness. Underneath the chin, or underneath the lip. Maybe if I start believing there is always enough. Stay on the chin. And I can have enough. My example will help other people to feel like they have enough too. Will help other people to feel like they have enough too. Okay, on the collarbone again. Maybe if I start valuing myself and my worth. Underneath the arm, I can pull myself out of this debt. On top of the head, regardless of what I can and cannot do. I accept myself exactly as I am. Okay, now take a deep breath. Now, if people are not at a place of neutrality on, you know, if people are feeling debt or, you know, like financial strain, I would go through that a couple more times, especially if you're listening to the download. You can stop and go through as many times as you want. And I have two more portions of this. And one is sort of determining how it's costing us. And then the other one is what I really like to do, which is the, you know, building it up. So we're going to move on to the next portion, and we're going to... we're going to rub the sore spot or go on the karate chop point again. And we're just going to say this this one affirmation a couple different times. This debt is costing me too much. And I want to find a different way. This debt is costing me too much. And I want to find a different way. One more time. This debt is costing me too much. And I want to find a different way. Okay. Now on the eyebrow portion. This debt is costing me too much. On the outside. I want to find a different way. Underneath the eye. I want to have enough and feel like I am contributing. To the solution rather than the problem. Okay. Underneath the nose. I want to contribute to society in a positive, uplifting way. Rather than feeling like I am a burden. On the chin. I want to start paying back my debt to myself and society. On the collarbone. It is my responsibility to free myself from my feelings that I am not enough. On top of the head. On top of the head. I'm going to skip the other point.
I am enough.
Okay. Now take a breath. Now, if people feel like they want to go through that tapping session again, I would go back to the beginning of that little point and do it again until it feels right.
Cool.
So for this last one, this is what I like to do to build people up, to sort of put people in a place of empowerment. And let's see, which one am I going to choose here? Okay, yeah, that's a good one. Rubbing the sore spot or tapping on the karate chop point. We're going to say this one a couple times. It's just one pretty long sentence. So I'll break it up in two. I am now choosing to be a positive influence on society. And I now choose to do things from a feeling of love and gratitude.
and I now choose to do things from a feeling of love and gratitude.
Okay, again, I am now choosing to be a positive influence on society.
I am now choosing to be a positive influence on society.
And I now choose to do things from a feeling of love and gratitude.
And I now choose to do things in a feeling of love and gratitude.
Okay, one more time. I am now choosing to be a positive influence on society.
I am now choosing to be a positive influence on society.
And I now choose to do things from a feeling of love and gratitude.
And I now choose to do things from a feeling of love and gratitude.
Okay, on the eyebrow. I now choose to feel gratitude.
I now choose to feel gratitude.
Stay on the eyebrow. There is no room for lack in my life.
There is no room for lack in my life.
On the outside of the eye. I now choose to feel grateful for my life.
I now choose to feel grateful for my life.
Underneath the eye. I now choose to be an example of prosperity consciousness.
I now choose to be an example of prosperity consciousness.
And stay underneath the eye, regardless of my perceived circumstances.
Regardless of my perceived circumstances.
Okay, underneath the nose. Even though I feel as if I have been contributing to the problem.
Even though I feel as if I have been contributing to the problem.
Stay underneath the nose. I am now choosing to be part of the solution.
I am now choosing to be part of the solution.
Okay. On the chin. Everyone has inherent value and worth.
Everyone has inherent value and worth.
And stay on the chin. And I am now choosing to see myself as valuable and worthy.
And I am now choosing to see myself as valuable and worthy.
Okay, on the collarbone. I am now choosing to feel secure, happy, and relaxed.
I am now choosing to feel secure, happy, and relaxed.
Okay, underneath the arm. I am now choosing to repay my debt to myself.
I am now choosing to repay my debt to myself.
By allowing myself to relax.
By allowing myself to relax.
Okay, on top of the head. I am always safe, protected, and divinely guided.
I am always safe, protected, and divinely guided.
Stay on top of the head, even though I have no idea how.
Even though I have no idea how.
Okay, on the eyebrow. I trust that I always know the right thing to do at the right time.
I trust that I always know the right thing to do at the right time.
On the outside of the eye, I now relax in my security and peace of mind.
I now relax in my security and peace of mind.
Underneath the eye. I am valuable, important, and worthy.
I am valuable, important, and worthy.
Underneath the nose. I now choose to totally love myself and my life.
I now choose to totally love myself and my life.
And let's do that one more time. On top of the head. I now choose to totally love myself and my life.
I now choose to totally love myself and my life.
Okay, now take a deep breath. And again, if people wanted to go through that one more time, you can go through it as many times as you want. And the objective in doing all three of those parts is to first neutralize, any negative feelings that you might be having. And you can feel free to add your own. The second part is to sort of identify, a wanting. This is what I want to change kind of thing. And the third one is to instill in yourself the things that you want to believe about yourself, but perhaps you don't. And I don't know about you, Lori, but I kind of got a high off that. my objective is for people to feel freer, when they're done. And this is just a little thing that I came up with this morning before the show because I realized that I would like to do that. So, they can vary. You can take whatever I just said and you can modify it to your own. Whatever might be going on in your life, whether it be relationships or issues with your children or issues with, financial issues, whatever it is, you can take it and modify it to suit your needs. And that's kind of why I wanted to do that today. I wanted to focus on something that seemed like it might be not necessarily a universal issue, but somewhat.
Right.
And help people alleviate a little bit of that pressure.
Can you give an example of how people could modify it? Like if you were to do something about a relationship, so you would take, again, not going through the actual statements, yes, but how to sort of modify it so that it would...
Okay. I would start with the simplest of statements, which the simple EFT statements are, even though I have fill in the blank,
right,
I deeply and completely accept myself. And you'll notice that through my, what I just did there was really modified from that. But that's the simplest of statements. So for example, excuse me, even though I have, even though I'm feeling stressed out about my husband or whatever, I deeply and completely accept myself. Even though I want him to change and do this, I deeply and completely accept myself. Even though I wanted to go in this direction and he wants to go in that direction, I deeply and completely accept myself. Even though I feel guilty for doing that thing last night, I deeply and completely accept myself. Even though I don't want to be in this relationship anymore, I deeply and completely accept myself. Even though I don't feel like it's spiritual to bail out, I deeply and completely accept myself. Whatever the feelings are that you're having, just, you know, take some time and write down, what are the feelings that I'm having? You know, if it's resentment or guilt or whatever. And then from that, take those feelings and look at what is contributing to this. Okay, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. I don't want to be in this job anymore. I'm afraid that if I do this, if I take this action, I can't have that other thing that I really want. So, you know, even though I'm afraid to buy this new car, I deeply and completely accept myself. Even though I think if I buy this new car, I'll be financially destitute, I deeply and completely accept myself. Whatever it is, however that shows up. And then after you get used to, you know, creating your own sort of statements, then you can play around with it a little bit. Even though I'm feeling unfocused, I'm willing to believe that I can be focused, balanced, and centered. It's just a little twist on it, you know, on taking exactly what it is and switching it around. There's also something called the choices method. Even though I have this, I'm terrified of bears and I live in the country, I'm willing to, or, you know, I choose to deal with bears the way so-and-so does, you know, who's not afraid of bears. However that may show up for you, whatever the anxiety, the stress, the fear is that you might be experiencing, you can just take the statement and switch it. And then what I do is I just basically take those things and create affirmations from it. And I use the choices method in it, which is, you know, even though I feel this, I now choose to feel that. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it might be a stretch. And what I find is if I can just step up a little bit, so I might be feeling high anxiety about something. And if you can't make the leap from, you know, even though I feel anxiety because I'm going to lose my job, you know, I'm willing to believe that I can make $1 million this year. That just doesn't really seem realistic. So you might want to take little step ups, you know. So even though I'm losing my job, you know, I was just fired, I am willing to believe that the right job for me is out there. So that's, you know, a much smaller but more realistic step than just shooting for the stars immediately. So that's how I like to build them up, to just kind of like take little baby steps. And in doing that, it's kind of like you incrementally raise your openness and your vibration so that the higher and the better thoughts can have sort of be massaged in a little bit better.
Cool. All right. So you do private consultations. How can people get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me by either going to my website, which is divinewithin.com, or you can call me. My number is 518-391-5656. And if I'm not available at the time, just leave a message. And my email is info@carriecannon.com. So, but Carrie Cannon is KerriKannan, and you can just send something to info@carriecannon.com, or you can go through the contact form on my webpage. A couple different ways of getting in touch with me.
Great. So our next show will be number 2nd.
Yes, it will be.
I look forward to it. I'm sure it'll be a great show.
Thank you very much, Lori. Have a fantastic day.
You too.